96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Juan McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Burger King, Seafound, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Island Pay, J.S. Johnson, Margaritaville, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're actually in studio today. We were supposed to be at Baja Retreat, but it was raining cats and dogs out there just minutes before we were to go do it. And so we've now agreed to postpone it until tomorrow. They got lots of great deals from Mother's Day. We're going to go talk with Malaika out there and all the other great people at Baja Retreat. We're going to let you know about all their specials. And I'm hoping to have a special guest for you to come out there. And also, I am working on some giveaways that we can do tomorrow. We'll see how that all goes. Now, we want you to be cognizant that Mother's Day, though it is a very important occasion, you still want to be sure that after Mother's Day you can live your life, all right, and afford all your stuff. So with Baja Retreat, you get to do something very special. They got great deals going on, and you don't have to break the bank. All right, so that's where we're going to go. Now, I often do things for the people who I love by getting them stuff from Baja Retreat, and you can do that for, you know, pretty reasonable prices. Some people go crazy on Mother's Day. Some people are more subdued, but you can go ahead and put out a nice gesture for the person you love. Maybe take them out for a meal, cook a nice meal for them at home. These are things that really go along long way. All right, so tomorrow will be a Baja Retreat, as I said, hopefully a special guest, hopefully some giveaways that we're working on. Nothing crazy, nothing exorbitant, just, you know, maybe some coupons or something like this for, you know, some beverages, etc. We're working on that. Not 100% sure that that's all going to pan out just yet. So we're going to deal with current events today. All right. The two things. We're talking about the thing with Wayne Monroe, and let me start with this so that we can. Okay, so the prison work release scheme has been suspended for people who were convicted of homicide. Now, color me crazy, but I don't know that people who were convicted of homicide should have been put on the prison work release scheme. Surely it must have occurred to somebody in the prison, in the Ministry of National Security, and all the other agencies, committees, XYZ, that if you are putting people who have been convicted of homicides within the past 10 years at very busy locations that lots of people pass through, there's a good chance that somebody who wants to exact revenge is going to be informed that they are there. All right? So I don't know that it's wise to have done that in the first place. Now, Wayne Monroe is saying it was approved under the former administration. That's well and good. That's fine if he says that. But I need to understand more about it, okay? So I would need to understand exactly who approved these people and why it is that he says 11 of the 17 inmates who were approved for work release were serving sentences for murder or manslaughter, so homicides. That's A. B, okay, so you're saying that this was approved under the former administration. So the latest it could happen was September 15th, September 16th, if you really want to get technical, of 2021. Now, I don't know that I... Well, okay, if you're saying it's approved under the last administration, then that means that you could have approved it September 16th, 2021. It could have gone into effect, say, January 1, maybe, yeah. But to me, I don't believe, unless you could show me different, that this guy was there for 8 months, day in and day out. And a guy walked from the Kemp Road area. I don't know if he had a car parked in Kemp Road. He knew someone. He apparently walked from the Kemp Road area. I'm not 100% sure of that, but it appears that's the case. Walked from the Kemp Road area and shot and killed this guy. And then walked back through Kemp Road because there's video of the alleged murderer walking back with his gun out. I don't know why you would be walking with your gun out after you shot somebody dead and there's nobody following you. But I don't suppose I could apply reason to what is unreasonable, which is blowing someone's brains out in the middle of the day at a service station on one of the busiest daytime thoroughfares in New Providence. All right. So I'm confused as to why these guys are out here for homicide and why 11 of 17 would be on the scheme. I would think that first up for the work release would be nonviolent offenders. Now, do I say that to say that if you've committed a violent crime, you should never have the ability to go and get work release X, Y, Z? No, I don't, right? But I think there's other options for you rather than work release, all right? So we need to look at what else we can do. So there's reintegration programs, halfway houses, et cetera, that you could get people into when their release date is imminent. Like, when I say imminent, I mean like 6 months imminent, not a couple of years down the road. But to have people convicted of homicides on a work release program is strange to me. I'd like to understand the rationale behind that. All right? This man who was killed, Timothy Saunders, he was serving time for manslaughter in relation to a triple shooting that left three people dead, and one of them was a pregnant woman in July 2011. Now, I have heard people say they remember this story. I was there when the police were combing through this crime. It took almost 12 hours to clear this crime scene. Two men, allegedly, at least two men, went into this house, went from room to, at least four children were in this house as well. They went from room to room and shot these people dead while they slept. And the children were forced to be in the home in a separate room after the police came, until the scene was cleared. One of the victims was a woman. Two were men, one was a woman. The woman was 8 months pregnant. Now, in the Bahamas, you cannot be charged for murder if you kill someone who is not yet fully born. I ain't made the law. That's just what it says. They went to this home, according to evidence, according to police reports. They went, and they did this in the middle of the night, right? I was there. I went there from, like, before the sun came up, and we were there till, like, almost noon, I remember, before they were taking the bodies out. You could see the baby bump in the body bag the pregnant woman was in, all right? This was in 2011, yeah? I remember it like yesterday. The reason they say that they went and killed these people was specifically to go and kill this woman. Because prior to this, they had an incident in a Haitian village off Carmichael Road where two men killed another man. Well, one man killed another man was with him. All right, and they killed a man in the Haitian village off Carmichael Road. And those guys fled. The police were looking for him. The friends of the guy who was killed in the Haitian village, they were looking for him, etc. They told the guy's friends, right, who they said killed the guy in the Haitian village. They said, either you come back or we're going to start killing your family. They found out that she was carrying this guy's child, and they said, "You're not gonna come back. You killed our brother. We're going to go kill your unborn child." That's what this was. They went to kill her specifically because she was carrying the child of a man they said killed a man in a Haitian village like a week or two earlier. It was a straight up retaliation killing. And the theory is that they didn't know which one was her in the dark. And so they killed all the adults. And the children were in a separate room. That's what we're dealing with here. That's what this was. He was on work release after that, a decade ago. Right? Only recall about three or four tops murders where pregnant women were killed in the Bahamas, which seems like one's a whole lot, right? But I've covered at least three. How do you figure that less than a decade has passed since this woman died, this man's child has died? He's dead too, as far as I recall. How do you figure that was just going to ride like that? Like, what? How comfortable were you that there was restorative justice as far as the families of the victims? How did you think he was safe out there at a service station that all kind of people go to? You have no idea who he's going to come in contact with, and no one's going to find him, no one's going to do anything. How do you feel comfortable putting him on work release? Because I wouldn't feel comfortable if I were, say, trying to ensure his security, even letting known people he was released into the community. And I know there's a school of thought that says the police should tell people, the prison should alert people, community leaders, when these people come, so they can help them, give them some work, give them some money, make sure they're in a safe place. But that doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know what the gruesome nature of this crime that he was serving time for. By the way, you can get up to life in prison for manslaughter. So what does he get? He got 18 years, and he had already served five or something like that by the time the trial came up. That's manslaughter for killing a pregnant woman and two others is a lot to me. Here's why it's manslaughter and not murder. He was charged with murder, as was his co-defendant. The jury came back 8-4 guilty for murder. Okay? The judge said, no, for murder, you need a unanimous verdict. All right? And the jury didn't agree on a unanimous verdict of murder, which, anyway. I already told you about these jury trials, but I'll stop there. The judge told the jury they could go back and they could deliberate on manslaughter. And they came back with guilty for manslaughter. All right? Now, this guy, Timothy Saunders, the guy who was accused with him, because they said Saunders was the trigger man, he argued his case to the Court of Appeal, saying that the judge was wrong in allowing them to deliberate for manslaughter without the evidence being led to prove the case for manslaughter, because they led the evidence for murder and prove the case. Now, his co-accused had his conviction quashed. He's been released as well. I don't know what happened to him. But this guy had to serve his sentence. He didn't get his appeal approved. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. And I wasn't in the house. Just them bringing the bodies out. The fact that there was this mass killing for... And I think the thing in the Haitian village was over something really stupid, like a little bit of money or something. Juan, why you say Haitian village? Because it's the Haitian village. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to make something up? They were Never Never Land. What do you want me to say? I gotta lie and think up new words so you don't feel like triggered that I said Haitian. It's a Haitian village. The guy was killed in. How do I know it's a Haitian village? Because the village is full of people who were from Haiti or of Haitian descent. This is, I don't know which country you live in. This is not an uncommon thing that needs me to peel back many layers of this onion. You're aware that there are communities of people who speak the same language, who live in this country, who live together. Yes? Okay. You're a Bahamian. When you go away, don't you go look for the other Bahamians? Don't you go try to see them? Not in like Fort Lauderdale or anything. But when you go somewhere where they're not all over, don't get at me, right? Triggered with your political virtue signaling. The man was killed in the Haitian village, okay? And our society, our criminal justice system, doesn't care if you're Haitian or Bahamian or El Salvadorian. If you murder somebody, you are going to be tried for murder if they have evidence to prove that. All right? So everybody gets a fair shake. I can't do this with y'all. Nitpicking people's language, it's the Haitian village. That's what it is. Act with sense. All right? That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I don't know why this guy was on work release. 11 of the 17 inmates were there for homicides. It's ridiculous. By the way, can we change the law to make it murder if you kill a pregnant woman who's with child? I mean, I understand it would have to be after a certain point. I don't want to get into all your abortion stuff because I don't really support abortion, though I do support a woman's right to choose what she does with her body. But if I could have a baby, I don't think I would have an abortion, but I can't have a baby, so I don't have a big say in it. We should change the law to make it that if you're beyond a certain week, you can be charged with murder. Now, whether that's you could determine the heartbeat, which is, that's early, like 10 weeks, if I remember correctly. Y'all have had babies, right? Y'all do that well out here, yes? So, you know, you go in for 6 weeks, your lady knows she's pregnant, right? Usually. 99 out of 100, she knows she's pregnant after, you know, she misses her first period or so. Or she has a very good inkling, right? And you go in at 6 weeks, you can barely see anything. It's like the size of a pea. And you keep going, it grows. It looks like a little alien. You can detect the heartbeat, only it looks like a little alien thing. And then it has like flippers, right? And they turn into hands. And you kind of see the head. It's magical, homie. It's magical. I might as well brief you. I can't do it. To watch another life, to have another life grow inside of you? Good Lord. All right? It says you can't say you'd have a baby if you don't. I can't have a baby, so I don't know. I can't, you know, I mean, I'm not a woman. I don't have ovaries or a uterus. You should do what you want with your body. And that's not for me to say. I'm going to stand here and go, oh, that's for me to say. I'm saying For me, I'm not a big proponent of it, but I don't get into it. But I think women should be able to choose, and I think if women choose that they want to do that for certain reasons, they should be given access to care. All right? That's what I think. That's where I'm at with it. That's it. Anyway, I don't know how we got here. Because he killed the pregnant woman. Right. So I think you should change the law. I think you should be charged with murder, double murder, if you kill a woman and she is pregnant with a child. To me. I don't understand this work release thing. I don't understand clearly what Wayne Monroe means when he says this was approved by the former administration. I don't clearly understand that because I didn't think like Marvin Dames was going signing off on who go to work release. Like I thought they had like a committee set up with the IDB because the IDB funded the Citizens Security and Justice Program of which prison work release was a part. In fact, you can go on the Citizen Security and Justice website and see the programs that they've had. They got like education programs. They're about stopping recidivism. And Monroe says a guy was killed earlier who was on the work release. He wasn't on work release. He finished his sentence and he was killed. So I don't understand why they're on work release to me. All right. We got to take a break. We're going to be back and we'll look at your messages and we'll also talk about these tax issues. Stay tuned.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today when every dollar counts. Count on Advantage, celebrating 25 years of service.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This Mother's Day, it's more than just brunch. It's the Taste of Margaritaville. Join us this Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. for live music, unlimited mimosas, and a full buffet display. With all mothers getting a free rose from the Margaritaville restaurant. Brunch with us for $85 per person. Kids under 12 eat for just $25, and kids under 5 eat free. Complimentary garage parking, VAT and grats included. Make your reservation today at 603-8400 or 698-0624.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance. Peace of mind.
At Wendy's, we are different.
We don't just use beef.
It's fresh, never frozen. Our burgers are square because we never cut corners. Served hot off the grill with fresh lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and American cheese. We believe in fast food done right. Always serving fresh, never frozen beef. Order a hot, juicy Dave single, double, or triple. Made with fresh, never frozen beef. Now only at Wendy's. Different inside and out.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Gentlemen, to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were talking about the prison work release scheme. We also talked about the pregnant lady who was murdered. And, you know, that does touch an issue of whether the babies are actually fully developed people that you should be charged under the law with killing. Now, you can be charged with killing a fetus. Certainly. And, you know, I don't mind having that conversation. I don't know that it's a conversation relevant to the Bahamas, but I think that we do look at what's happening in the United States and other places. Let me not say that. It is relevant to the Bahamas in that we have to make some decisions about how we're going to move forward as a nation. And so for the wide conglomerate or... For the segment of the population that I don't believe is very, very small, that believes that it's okay for a teenage, young teenage girls to have sex and have sexual relationships with men or whomever, right? And for those of you who believe that's all good, you're going to have to look at what's been happening for the past 40 years and ask yourself if that's really worked out. Has just kind of turning a blind eye to teenage girls having children that they're not prepared to take care of, that likely will not have fathers in their life, has that by and large been a success? All right? You have to look at that. And so, in my view, there should be options, right? Because you say they should have the babies, and it's, you know, to me, it's their choice. But you're saying that they should have the babies, and if they try to get an abortion, it's outlawed. But I don't see y'all trying to take care of none of these children. I don't see y'all, like, paying for their school, or none of this. I just hear, you know, what you want them not to do. But what are you actually going to help them do is my question. So to me, that's a matter of choice. To me. All right. It says, hi, Juan. The dead pregnant woman's boyfriend is in prison right now. He was convicted of killing two men in the Haitian village. By the way, her boyfriend was a Jamaican national, Serrano Adderley. Oh, okay, he's a Jamaican. Who had dealings with the men in the Haitian village. That sounds familiar. That name you said sounds familiar too, actually. All right, he's in prison. Do you understand what's happening here, Kermit? Let me Google it now. Listen to me. The man who killed the guys in the Haitian village, right? Who these guys killed his girlfriend, his baby's mother, to get to him, he's in prison. But the guy who killed this baby's mother is also in prison, but on work release. How does that work? How does that line up? So the killing the pregnant woman was retaliation for him killing the guy in the Haitian village. You say he killed two people? I don't remember two. Might be two. They're both in prison, but one's on work release. Well, one's now dead. We live in a wacky place, boy. Wacky, wacky, wacky. I'm surprised they didn't try to kill each other in prison. Maybe they haven't separated. I'm going to research that, what happened to the guy, actually. But you recall, if you know that much, then you would recall that's why they went and killed those people, to get to him. Now the Jamaican's going to be mad, too. Why you got to be Jamaican? I ain't making Jamaican. Y'all, like, everyone's so touchy-feely. You know? If you're Jamaican, you're Jamaican. If a Bahamian do something, I go, oh, well, why are you saying this bad? I go, okay, well, he's a Bahamian, hell. I'm not going to claim him. But I'll claim him if he do something good. I ain't claiming nobody bad, right? Who's a Bahamian who ain't about nothing out there? We don't have to claim. I don't know. So the Jamaicans don't have to claim him. They go, ooh, that's terrible. Like, I don't see Jamaicans going, oh, well, you know, it must be a reason because he's Jamaican. A load of Haitians is claim Kodak Black, which I wasn't claiming him. I could tell him. Boss, you, why you don't stop putting this flag up, eh? Why you? I what? All this Zoe stop, don't come, you know. Like, if you went on the city council, I could claim you. You know what I mean? I was a claiming Kodak Black, buddy. I might as well tell you. Oh, we got a phone call? Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Brother McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
All is well.
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is Vincent.
Hey, Vincent.
I want to help you with something because you helped me a lot, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to help you with something. You see how you're saying you want to know how my man get on with release scheme, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it, scheme.
Right.
Wake release.
Okay. Right? Yes, sir.
I'm going to show you how you get on that. I don't know how much years he had.
18.
But he had to have at least about close to about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have but that much. And number one, people were on wake release, they usually be fellas were charged with murder, armed robbery, or rape.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have plenty time. And what happened, not only that, he had to have good behavior in prison.
Why it got to be murder? Why it got to be murder? Why can't, like, stealing or something like that? Why, you know what I'm saying?
Well, let me
I gotta be what hardcore is. Like that.
It could be anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But number one, the key thing is you got to have good behavior in prison. Either you be a trustee or someone with doing some good work around prison, in prison, and that's how you get a wake release. And according to his time, I think he's been on a wake release for like he might have had at least about 3 years before he leave prison.
Wow. Yeah. I think it was two.
So that's how they do that. And you get that, he got that through the prison commissioner. He recommend him to the prerogative board of mercy.
Okay.
So the prerogative board of mercy will be the one to really...
You sure the committee of the prerogative board of mercy is in charge of work release?
Yeah.
You sure that the prerogative of mercy committee is in charge of work release?
Yes, that's the only way you could get out on the CMC. What happened is the commissioner, a prison, he recommend you to the prerogative board of mercy because of the good work you were doing in prison. And the prerogative board of mercy, they evaluate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they give him, like, say, about, say, like, I believe, because I think he did about 10 years or something like that. So he might have had but 3 or 4 more years left. So they just put him on a wake release so he could get used to society once again and have some money for when he come out there to go and do whatever he had on the yard to do.
I got you. Okay. All right, buddy.
So that's how they do that.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you. No, I don't understand it. Excuse me. Watch this. Hey, Kermie, I pull up his court transcript, right? Serrano Adeline. So, and this went all the way to the Court of Appeal. He killed Serrano Adeline, the boyfriend of the girl who was killed. He killed Kevin Forbes, a.k.a. Wabi, and Alwayne Leslie, a.k.a. Yardy. Okay? So he shot them dead, two people, in Haitian Village, 8 p.m., 12 July, 2011. The alleged motive for the killings was the fact that earlier that day an altercation ensued between Forbes and the appellant, and during the course of the altercation, Forbes fired two shots over the head of the appellant. Okay. Serrano Adderley was sentenced to life in prison twice. So he got two life sentences to run concurrently. So someone can demystify the criminal justice system in the Bahamas for me. How does a man who killed two people in Haitian Village just days before another man who killed three people, one of them a pregnant woman, how does he get more time than the guy who killed the pregnant woman? When both of those, manslaughter and murder, can carry life in prison. So this guy was sentenced to life. He appealed his conviction and his sentences, his convictions and his sentences to the Court of Appeal. Court of Appeal upheld the convictions, quashed the life sentence, and sentenced him to 60 years in prison. So he's not coming out of prison. He is going to serve, because he was on remand for 2 years and 10 months, he has to serve 57 years and 2 months from May 2014. A prison year is about 8 months out of 12. So he's going to spend about three quarters of that, which is still 40-some years. About, right? Yeah, about 40 years. I don't know if he's getting out. Anyway, we got to take a break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away five priceless trips to Miami for two people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. We're talking about the work release program. I want to move on to some other stuff too, but I'm very interested in how, like, this just highlights to me, like, the disparity and the deficiencies in the criminal justice system. Now, don't get me wrong. These cases highlight that insofar as holding people accountable for murder, sending them to prison, it actually works. But there's a lot of stuff that really needs to be worked out to make it make more sense. All right. Now, let's see. It says, from what I read, the guy that was shot couldn't be convicted of all the charges they initially levied against him. Some of his charges were dropped because of legal technicalities. If I remember correctly, he was charged with three things: murder, manslaughter, and gun charges. Correct. He wasn't found guilty of murder. Correct. But of the other two charges. Correct. However, the manslaughter charge was dropped or overturned in an appeal trial because the first judge got to do some technical procedure, and the second judge then had to throw out the manslaughter charge as a result. I may have gotten some of the things mixed up, but that's just what I read. Right, you mixed a little bit of it up. Timothy Saunders? He appealed his conviction, and it was dismissed. The Crown appealed the sentence that was handed down to Timothy Saunders because they felt it was too light. And the Crown dismissed, the Crown withdrew that appeal. And so no one had their appeal be successful in regard to Timothy Saunders or the Crown. But his co-accused, he successfully appealed his conviction, and the Court of Appeal found that he should not have been convicted of manslaughter, given that the jury had already failed to unanimously convict him of murder. All right, so Sean Knowles was the person who was also charged and convicted. He had his conviction thrown out, and the Court of Appeal, which, you know, I don't know that I agree with this, the Court of Appeal said that there's no material reason to order a retrial. So he just walked. All right. It says, one, they don't put short timers on work release because it's a money thing. Short timers won't accumulate much money. Part of their pay goes to them. In part, goes to the government. Like, what qualifies as a short timer? Like, less than 2 years? It says, one, they had Angelo Nasty Brennan on the scheme, too. The man who shot and killed his girlfriend on the bus stop in Farringdon Road. And they tried to kill his daughter, who was a witness to the crime. I remember that. She remains in protective custody after being hunted down and shot. Wow. Is he released, too? To say, one, Marvin fall down bad and do his homework before he spoke. Yeah, I'd like to figure out what's going on with that. Like, is it that Marvin Dames didn't do his homework, or is it that Marvin Dames had nothing to do with it, A, and B, as far as he was aware, guys who were convicted of murder shouldn't have been on the work release scheme? But you do make a good point in that if 11 of the 17 people on work release have been convicted of homicide, that's not something that should escape Marvin Dame's purview, because Wayne Monroe figured that out shortly. Says the Haitians claim Steph Curry too, maternal grandmother. Yeah, I'd claim Steph Curry for certain. Absolutely. I would too. All day. Kodak Black, not so much. This says, I don't think the solution is to lock them up until the day of the release. Nobody killed more people than Saul the Apostle, and nobody was more premeditated than Cain when he killed his brother. Cain was also concerned that someone would kill him, but God allowed him to live. Funny, he said the punishment of living was more than he could bear. As much as they think we need to tar and feather them, their tortured mind is more than we could ever do. I hear you. I don't agree with that on a personal level, right? So Saul could have killed a whole country full of people. I'm really watching that. If you kill my brother, my son, my wife, my daughter, my girlfriend, my unborn child, yeah, for God to have left Cain to his own tortured mind is one thing. For you to have killed my loved one and be walking around here all free or semi-free, right, while I'm still living with that pain, I don't know if that works for me. And I'm not saying I would do anything, but I'm going to want blood if it's mine. In lieu of blood, you should go to prison and try to repay your debt to society and my family. But I want blood. You don't have to. I do. It says, I believe anyone who commits murder has a tortured mind. Peace is gone from them. Watch El Chapo, that man couldn't trust nobody. It says, Brother Juan, life is precious, but I shed no tear for the guy killed at Rubus, which should have come around. What goes around comes around. He should have stayed in jail. He's a sick nation. Guys on gun charges get 15K bail. And use that bail woman he does. Hey, he, you know, I don't wish death on anyone who has done nothing remotely close to me. So I just think that it wasn't a wise decision to leave him out there at the service station where, look, you're not going to kill a pregnant woman. The other two guys' lives have value too, right? You're not going to kill a woman who's 8 months pregnant, and the people who care about her, who knew her, who loved her, are just going to let that ride, all right? There has to be something logical about this, where you say a part of your rehabilitation process, even though the victims' families may not want to participate, is for you to try to reconcile what's going on with the victims' families. I'm not saying the victims' families did this. I don't know what happened. Y'all has killed people around here for Coke soda and thing. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know that there's any like threshold. Says, hey, bro, these people quote in the Bible, but then they stone criminals in the Bible. Yeah, absolutely. Says, good day, Juan. We should not solve society's problems with religion. Religion is for the religious. Yeah, I agree with that. I think religion is a system in and of itself that's a part of society. I don't think it should dictate to society. Belief, faith, you know, I do think those things play a role. Says, I know and I understand. I often tell people I can give you advice because I'm in the situation, same time you're in it. That's why judges and not family members get to judge. They ain't in it. True. You need someone dispassionate. You do. And I leave that to the judge. I leave that to the jury. I leave it to the criminal justice system to try to make amends. But, you know, that's a rough one. You're asking a lot. Somebody sent me this from the Bible. Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. True. You shall not murder, Exodus 20:13. Exodus 21:12, whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. True, very true. Very true. I still want blood. It says, one afternoon, there's a man walking up and down the middle of traffic on Carmichael Road. I have passed here in 45-minute intervals. Apparently, he's unstable. Notify authorities, please. Up and down traffic in the middle of Carmichael Road. Yeah, he's going to get hurt. Police, there's a guy walking up and down traffic in the middle of Carmichael Road. Somebody was doing that the other day. They were walking in traffic. Bro, I can try, right? But you got to kind of realize this, like a 2-ton vehicle coming your way, you know? If you that out it, I don't know if you should be out the house. We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's happening, bro?
I am great, man. You let me, you know, every day that you come on the radio, right? Mm-hmm. I never hear you for the past couple months talk about certain things. The simple fact is I understand because when it comes to our country, the only thing you can talk about is murders. Sad to say it, like that. Right,
Vaughn. We'll be all on board, yeah.
You know, that's right. The reality of it. You know, I told one of my friends, he said that, you know, living in this country is so sad that every day or every other day, sometimes twice a day, you could just only talk about murders. Nothing positive. Because when you look at it, you might start your show with something that you want to talk about positive, then you see people start talking about, you had a murder last week, you had a murder last night.
Right.
you lose focus and lose, you know.
You're on murder now, right, yeah.
Murders is the only, you know, it sounds sad to say it like that, but the reality of it, Mr. McCartney, is that that's the passing. Everything else, when it comes to people getting involved in conversations. I mean, you even have pastors going in church on Sundays and saying too much murders in the country, which is true.
Yeah. I mean, I brought murders up today, so, you know.
Right.
I
but can't blame anybody else. Yeah, and mind me, you don't, you know, listening to you, you don't really talk about it, but I feel real. That, to talk about something like that, that takes hours and days and months and weeks, because every time when you decide to talk about something else today, say something that could happen today, then tomorrow when you come on your show, they had two murders. Oh, they had a murder. So it's like, you know, you're fighting. You're trying to bring to people from your experience as being a journalist and going on the scenes of these murders. People who understand that, you know, Mr. McCartney, you know what it is to be going on the scenes and seeing gruesome things. And you're trying to explain to people in the way that you can bring it to them so they can understand. But some people just don't understand, because I don't care how much you come on this radio horn and explain to people to put down the guns, put down this, don't go to the clubs, y'all don't fight, y'all don't broke up. People gonna still do it. That's what I don't understand. That's why when you see some people want sad to stay like this, that, you know, that who are involved in that mystic lifestyle go from this earth, how could you? I don't feel sorry, because while they were here, there were ones who were reaping havoc on this country and reaping havoc on people. So people ain't gonna have no sympathy and no sorriness if they know a person who, you know, hypothetically raped a couple of people and they hear him or him get killed. People ain't gonna worry, baby. People might not party.
Yeah, the show's still gonna go on. Yeah.
I'm telling you, and all I can tell you, my brother, keep up the good work and continue on trying to stir these people's minds in the right direction. But the only thing I could say, like I always say to you, Ms. McCartney, when topics and subjects like this come up, parents and family members, make sure you all have some good insurance so you all could get something back. Have a good day, my brother.
All right, bro. Thanks, DeWitt. What? It says, why is the media covering up the Adrian Francis scandal? If this was the Minnesota administration, it would be all over the news. Okay, so that's where you're at. We're covering up the Adrian. What's scandal? Because I saw some pictures that I believe were inappropriate involving Adrian. And Adrian went on his social media page to address it. And he said those were indeed inappropriate pictures and that should not have happened. But that was quite some time ago and it wasn't now. And I am also unclear of Adrian's connection to the current administration. There's supposedly some connection there, but I'm unclear as to what it is. The other thing is, the last time I got on here and talked about a specific man's equipment other than myself was never. Okay, so I'm not really with it. Unless there's something really there. You know, if Dr. Pinto's here, you can ask him questions about your stuff, but I am less interested in what's happening with other people's stuff. Let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Juan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Yeah, I can try to be positive today, like I normally be. Yep. Let me see if I can help you out a little bit.
Okay.
Juan, you know, I keep telling you old guys, one. I didn't quit talking about no more school today. Because I be in the inner city every day. People in there ain't too bad. Everybody look forward. People trying to get home. The rainy season start. People do need to be kicked. On the election over 7 months. And remember, I told you I give them 6 or 7 months?
Right.
Now is my time to start putting pressure now. Govern. Stop the talking. See the, what kind of country is. See, all they do in this country is more and more. Talk. What happened to all these activists? What happened to the so-called Christian country? They don't get away nothing. They don't get away no chalk. They don't have no body. Not all, you know, but some. What happened in this country now? I keep saying, oh, some bad things have to happen in this country for the government to start doing the right things to the people. Because they ain't worried about me and you and my children, my grandchildren. They swear that he leads to the queen, her heirs, and successors. The commissioner of police ain't checking for me. The commander of the defense force ain't checking for me. No member of parliament checking for me and my children, my and us being. That's how it looks. Any foreign that comes to this country get all kinds of concessions and everything, tax break, you know what I mean, and all kinds of things. Which in Jesus, they want to understand is what the Caesar. But how much money they want to take from us, the poor people want? What else they want from us? The real baby people who I feel shouldn't be paying no tax. The Indians right there in Florida ain't paying no, they don't pay tax.
Who don't pay tax?
All of the world can pay tax. See, okay. We need to fix this country. Right now, hey, we need to pivot. And let's start concentrating, make laws to protect the BME people, to protect our country. And that's all I got to say, man.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you. All right. That's a point of view, you know. I'll let you go ahead and express it. I may not necessarily agree with that. All right. Okay, so I'll say about one thing you said, though. And I've tried to... So if you listen to me today, and I've been doing this, what, 7 years? If you listen to me today from 7 years ago, you would note that probably my approach is somewhat different. I don't believe that you should become a different person per se over time, but I think that you should grow. And you should work on what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are over time, and maybe assess the way you look at the world. And I used to look at things as very black and white. But as I've gotten more mature, I realized that there are shades of gray. Some things are not all bad. Some things are not all good. So when you talk about the Bahamas Christian Council, right? And when people talk about the Bahamas Christian Council, and I understand that they do get flack, right? We're speaking about, in our heads, some kind of monolithic religious agency that wants to hand down edicts as to how everyone in the Bahamas should live. And that's kind of how people look at the Bahamas Christian Council. Now, I don't look at it like that, okay? Because I know that though I don't really rate, and I'm sorry to say this, Bahamas Christian Council, I don't really rate the Bahamas Christian Council as an overarching organization for change in the country, because I don't see it. I do know that the members of the Bahamas Christian Council, a lot of them are very hardworking, very intentional, take care of people on a daily basis on a level that I would not even begin to wish to do, and that they want to see better things in the country. All right? So what happens is we go, oh, Christian Council, and we stack that up against every perception of Christianity and churches that we have in the Bahamas, you know, because let's be real, the Bahamas, you got a lot of people who are shysters in churches. You got people who pray on the weak and the vulnerable who hide behind the cloak of church. You got a lot of people who are into a bunch of darkness while calling the name of the Lord, right? Workers of the dark arts, right? And that is true. But you also have a lot of very well-meaning people who are Christians in this country that have changed people's lives for the better, mainly through the conviction of their faith. So I'm not going to throw the Christian Council away because I know the sum of the parts is greater than the appearance of the organization itself. All right. So when you're talking about Delton Fernando, when you're talking about Mario Moxie and these guys and Lyle Bethan and all of them, you don't have to agree with every view they hold. All right. I don't. But I would never sit here and say they don't do anything for anybody. They don't do anything for the Bahamas. I can't do that. All right. My just being a reasonable, honest person with myself, it won't allow me to do that. Do I think the Christian Council should have the influence that it has in terms of public policy? Not necessarily, unless they can start doing more data, more research. That is, while faith-based, backing up some national statistics to show kind of what is the reason they're coming from that perspective, and do your beliefs actually hold true when we look at the outcomes in society. All right. So I'm sorry, that's a long and convoluted explanation, but I don't go to the Christian Council and just say, I condemn the Christian. I don't do that because I know that there are a lot of people on the Bahamas Christian Council and who they represent that are very genuine, hardworking, good people. And let me explain something to you. You guys are young, right? I'm getting old, right? You're going to understand at a certain point. Maybe you do now if you're young, and that's great. Or maybe you never learned this if you're old. You're going to understand at a certain point that you are not as well-equipped as you would like to believe to deal with everything that life throws at you. Okay? I was very naive for a very long time, and I thought I was equipped to deal psychologically, emotionally, with all of the things that life can confront you with. I was wrong. And you will need help, and you will need guidance. And a lot of times, the only help people have is people in their church community, their Christian community. All right? The people who are followers, congregants of the pastors, the reverends, the priests, the bishops, or whatever, who sit on the Bahamas Christian Council. So I'm not going to condemn them. Is there work to do? Yeah. Do I believe everything they propose? No. But there is a place for the church, a quite significant place for the church and for Christianity and what it represents in our country. I will not say that that's not the case. I would never say that. And I may be biased because I'm Christian, but that's just what I believe. So I'm not going to condemn them. I'm going to try to help them work and do better, right? So I don't condemn the PLP. I don't condemn the FNM. I'm not saying that the same with the Christian Council, because I know that there are a lot of well-intentioned people in there. Are there some of the worst people you'd want to meet? Possibly. But there's still a lot of good. And to me, you got to try to figure out what's good about things and take away what you can good from it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Lincoln. Good day to your listeners. McCartney, I agree with you. You can't throw the baby away with the bad water when you
there
talk
you
about
go.
The Christian
right.
Council.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's always room for improvement. And I was just like you, many others out there, will agree that we thought we was equipped to deal with everything. But I don't know about you. You say you learned you could not learn. But what I learned is that it ain't designed that way. God have it this way because some of the things where we think we can handle, that's his job to deal with, in spite of how we feel and we get emotional to deal with situation. But like when you say it's still work to do, not just in the Christian Council, we must speak out and we must talk about something, but everything we ain't equipped to deal with, some things God love to deal with. Now, that thing with Adrian Francis, I feel just like the other rest of people who was working in the media, although I know he was doing a talk show once before, a couple times. I don't know what radio station I could think to say, well, he was employed too, but I could say, just like those people in the media who was some people say appointed, I say rewarded, since the government changed this new day government. I think he deserved it. I believe this foolishness this thing what they talking about with pictures and different things, in spite of me not seeing anything, and people explain it to me, it's just someone trying to be mischievous, trying to take bread out of another Negro mode. Someone who feel like, you know, well, in spite of how, because I hate this person should not be able to eat. And it's so sad when we go that far in the country. When we talk about disclosure, right, I hear Dwight in the morning, that was yesterday, he said he believed the politicians, he went as far as to say the politicians lying when they say they forget to do this thing with disclosing.
I can say they're lying. I can say I don't really buy that. But I can say they're lying.
You know, and I think they're lying. But let me tell you why. First, I want to ask you this question. Maybe you know the answer so you could find out. What is the penalty when they don't disclose on time? Now, for years now, I've been here, different governments in power. When it comes to this time, all of them, some of them has been late. And it's just like they give them more time. What the law say? What's supposed to be the penalty? Who was last charged with anything for being late or not disclosing? And should they be suspended? You know, like even in school, when you do something wrong, you be suspended till they get the situation. So how come they could hold office, still be a cabinet minister, make a decision, and then disclose some of them? The permanent secretary should take over until they disclose. And what is the auditor general saying? When it comes down to enforcement, what are you supposed to do on, rather than just keep slapping them on the wrist and giving them a break? Because it's setting a bad example to the young people and to others. So when it comes down to breaking the law and being within the law, they should know better, man. They shouldn't even be holding off with talking about they forget. I agree with you, Dwight Straw. They damn lie.
Okay. The penalty, last I checked, is $10,000. It's a $10,000 fine. Now, nobody's perfect, so I don't know that I hit you with the 10 grand the first lap, but for certain, that ain't no excuse to say I didn't know, because Clint Watson today was saying that, yes, they did know, because when you go to Parliament, you have educational sessions, right? They don't just go, you're in Parliament now, knock yourself out. They tell you, like, how Parliament's supposed to work. 90% of them probably don't pay no attention, but they tell you that. All right. This says, if the Bahamas doesn't deal with the economic inequalities in the country that create poverty, these murders and crime will not go away. I agree with you that we need to deal with economic inequality. But I don't know that economic inequality in and of itself leads to the murders we're talking about. So, for instance, the Serrano Adderley, okay, who killed two people in the Haitian village. I don't know that he was, that is as a result of poverty. He just had an argument. And he went to go solve it. Someone shot at him, so he says. And he went to go kill them. Now, I don't know what poverty had to do with that. And I don't know how poverty could solve that. Eliminating poverty could solve that. Timothy Saunders went and killed his baby's mother. Not because of poverty. Just out of retaliation. So while I agree with you as a standalone principle that we do need to try to eliminate as much as possible economic inequality, I don't know that these guys are killing each other because they're poor. You have to demonstrate that to me. That is the determinant factor why they're killing each other. Because last I checked, the people in Acklands don't have it as good as a lot of people in New Providence, and they ain't killing each other. The people in Freeport have even worse economic inequality in Grand Bahama. They ain't slaughtering each other. A tit for tat going around killing. You understand what's happening around here? You think as they're poor and somebody stole a loaf of bread and they're shooting each other, they're fighting over drugs. And women who they seek to get in their corner because of drugs and money. That's what they're into. You think the guys who are at the cooler fete with Magnum bottles of alcohol that probably costs like $300. You think that poverty's their problem? And they're knocking dudes out in the middle of the cooler fete because they're broke? You think the young lady who's walking back to her car from the cooler fete, who's bleeding, looks like from between her legs, you think poverty is the issue there? So you're going to have to, I'm not trying to diss you. What I'm saying is you're going to have to come a little deeper than that for me to buy into this argument that it's poverty that's doing this. Now, economic inequality in and of itself is an injustice, right? Kids going to bed hungry is an injustice. That they don't have access all the time to clean water, all right, and resources like the internet and all that, that's an injustice. And we need to quash injustice wherever we see it. But you can't draw no straight line from me, from poverty to what's happening out here on a daily basis. Not to me. I don't see too much of it that just have to do with people want to do whatever the hell they want to do. They'll act however they want to act, and they feel free to do as they wish. You think the Clayton Fernandez said they arrested a lady driving a car and a man was a passenger, and they had four dudes in the trunk with assault rifles, and one of them had a 9mm that they put an extended clip on and a barrel drum that could hold 200 rounds. Poor people don't run up on those things. You know, so I keep hearing this is poverty, is poverty, is poverty. And I don't think that, I think that's some of it, but a lot of this stuff is deeply flawed socialization. And a sense of unaccountability and entitlement that I don't know that putting money in their pocket is going to cure. Because the last I checked, the drug dealers make money. Right? You don't see all, you see all the videos with the drug, with all the drug dealers got all Marlins like this. Can't even fit them in their pocket. Money ain't the issue, you know. Lifestyle is the major challenge, if you ask me. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
This Mother's Day, it's more than just brunch. It's the Taste of Margaritaville. Join us this Sunday from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. for live music, unlimited mimosas, and a full buffet display, with all mothers getting a free rose from the Margaritaville restaurant. Brunch with us for $85 per person. Kids under 12 eat for just $25, and kids under 5 eat free. Complimentary garage parking, VAT and grats included. Make your reservation day at 603-8400 or 698-0624.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. All right. It's the same texter. It says, so what your sociology studies and data tell you, or most of the crime is and is developed, you're talking the exception, not the rule. You know I'm right. That's why certain people live in certain areas to avoid crime. So stop fronting. I ain't fronting. I'm being real with you. I've been out here. Man, look. Oh, boy. Remember when I said a few minutes ago that I used to look at the world as black and white? And everything is one straight line to the next? And I was wrong? Right? So you're telling me that eradicating the poverty is going to eradicate the murder and the crime. And I'm telling you, that's too black and white for me. So I'm not fronting, okay? I've seen many people who have gotten murdered that had nothing to do with poverty. I've seen many crimes committed that have nothing to do with poverty. All right? So I disagree that getting rid of the poverty is going to get rid of all the crime. Now, I understand that getting rid of poverty will reduce probably a whole lot of certain types of crime. But crime's a big umbrella. And not only poor people commit crimes. And that's what I'm hearing when you say that. That only poor people commit crime. And if there were no more poor people, there would be no more crime. Then why is there crime where rich people are? So it's too black and white for me. That's all. I'm not fronting. All right. We got to go to the phone line. Let's go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No? All right. So we are going to look at some text messages. I got a few minutes left. It says a love of money is their problem. Because, see, I don't want you to hear me say, I don't think you're going to stop all crime by stopping poverty to say that, yeah, people should be poor. No, I don't think that. I think that you do need to work on reducing poverty. And it's a paramount need. And if you reduce poverty, you will reduce not only crime, but a lot of the poor outcomes that we have in our society in terms of health, education, life expectancy, all those things. I totally agree that poverty is a problem. I just don't see the straight line from poverty to murder and all crimes. It says, because they are poor, their mindset is socially inept. All right. Boy, Ali, I don't know, bro. I try to do the Lord's work, right? But y'all done made up y'all mind. Because you poor, you socially inept. Wow. That's a vibe. That is a serious vibe. If you were poor, your mindset is socially inept. So all the poor people who was living over the hill 60 years ago, they were socially inept. Boy, I said what? Says crime's still going to be in a rich society. They just kill for different reasons, like insurance. Listen, where as long as you have human beings, you are going to have crime, okay? Because people are flawed. People are imperfect. Some people are sociopaths. Some people do things without thinking them through. This is just humanity, all right? From the beginning of the Bible to the end, if the Bible is your only historical reference. We always had crime. We always gonna have crime. As long as there are people, all right? In my estimation. Now, there may be some sort of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Utopia. All right? It says, characters. Exactly, character. It says, you're correct. Not only poor people commit crime, so the eradication of poverty will not solve the crime issue. Because that's what I hear, right? Like, I hear, like, a dichotomy. Like, I hear advocacy for eliminating poverty, but at the same time, I hear blaming poor people for all the crime in the country. That's what I hear. And I that's too basic for me. The it's too nuanced for that. Okay? It says, want to know many poor, upstanding citizens. Stop giving these criminals excuses. Yeah, and that's my point. Like, how all the broke people, look, man, I told you. Example after example. Handymen, people who work in the yard. One of the guys who came to work at my yard, I told you about how he went to power wash my yard and all sorts of stuff like that. I told you about the handyman who had, like, all these children, and he would always have them with him. He was always, like, trying to make ends meet and couldn't do it, and his son's working at the hotel now. These same jobs y'all just talk about we slaves in. His son is working at a hotel, and he's helped to change the lives of his brothers and sisters, right? So I don't buy it as just poverty. I want to eradicate poverty because I think it's disgraceful that we have so much in this society and so many people live such tortured lives and go without. And I'm willing to commit to that. You know what? I can talk about this tomorrow. I didn't mean to talk about the murder thing, because here's what I want to talk about, Ollie. And I can say this in the last 2 minutes. Anyway, let's go to phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How you doing, man?
I'm great. How's it going?
I'm
going
to try to take about 1 minute of your time. I know your show's running short. Three things I want you to consider here. Firstly, Public Disclosure Committee and the Public Accounts Committee with this matter with the parliamentarians. You know, for quite some time, we've been talking about trying to get them to account to the Bahamian people, them to really do the job based upon the criteria that they have to prosecute or bring charges toward or help to bring charges towards these parliamentarians who do not declare or declare on time. This is something that these guys claiming that they are unaware of. It's utter garbage. Second point to consider here. These fellas who are caught with these guns in the back trunk, it reminds me of a case in the United States when they had that guy and the father-son team going around. It is something to think about. Is this where we are coming to? Is it the sniper-type situation that now we're looking at? It's things to look at. And my last point here, in terms of the Adrian Francis case or debacle, we need to find out what are the laws for even putting that stuff on Facebook. Isn't that a cybercrime? We're not hearing anything about that.
I'm not certain.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are just the three things we need to put into the public domain. That is something that is so disgraceful. I believe that the authorities should have addressed that because it's a cybercrime to the best of my knowledge. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. So I'm going to... The sniper was Jamaican. He was just born in Jamaica. I don't think he was living his whole life in Jamaica. I don't know. That wasn't his son, though. Anyway, sorry, we got 4 minutes, so let me say this, right? Beyond crime, beyond all this, which is what I wanted to say, all right? Because we got into poverty and all this and yada, yada, yada. So, okay, so this is the Guardian headline today, all right? I just want to illustrate something because I didn't want to talk about this through the entire show today. I actually want to talk about what I'm about to say right now. So, Guardian headline, tax crackdown. Government prepared to garnish wages of delinquent taxpayers if need be. $1 billion black hole of unpaid taxes. Inland Revenue reveals scale of outstanding arrears by Bahamians. Let me say this. Sorry I couldn't get to all your text messages, but I want to say this. I'm going to try to be as genteel as possible while I'm saying it. This same energy that y'all have about collecting unpaid taxes and garnishing people wages and freezing accounts or whatever it is y'all say y'all prepared to do, according to the law and the tools at your disposal, I'm going to need you to have this energy be consistent throughout the public service. So just like you want to garnish my wages because I'm a delinquent taxpayer, I want you to follow the Public Procurement Act and list the contracts and put them out to tender. Just like you say it's a $1 billion black hole and unpaid taxes and that's all our problem and everything like that, I want you to have a care with our public funds when you decide you're giving out contracts like candy to your boys. Because it's always this hardcore suit and tie, letter of the law, advocacy and stern approach when we talk about collecting taxes from the Bahamian people. But when it comes to spending it, y'all just do whatever the hell y'all want. You want my $1 billion in taxes to go do what? To finish the baseball stadium? What is it that you want to go do? To give contracts to Rodney Moncur? What is it that you're trying to do with all my taxes? Why y'all ready to dig into every facet of my life? You could have the tax money. You could go garnish wages. Why don't you follow the Public Disclosure Act while you're at it? Why don't you follow the Public Procurement Act while you're at it? Why don't you stop wasting our money on nonsense? Why don't you explain to us what's going on with BPL and the fuel hedging? Why are you trying to collect my $1 billion in taxes? Because as far as I am concerned, you only want this $1 billion in taxes to go fritter it away for whatever it is you think is worth spending it on. Not what we agree is in the public good. Keep that same energy you got. You want to collect the taxes? You come to me with that energy when it comes to being accountable for how you're spending our money. And we'll be Gucci. All right, we got to go. You guys take care there. We'll be at Bar Retreat, God's Prayer Life tomorrow. Mother's Day is coming up. Have a great day, Bahamas.